Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to Overnight America, 11:06 Central Time here in St. Louis, Missouri, where we broadcast live weeknights. Also, 12:06, now past midnight over on the East Coast. Let me mention this to you. Border to border, coast to coast, wherever you may be, we connect you through this radio show. So keep the phone lines there for you. If you want to warm them up, you can. If your fingers are just there to relax, or if you really want to jump in on anything we talk about, the number is 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And I want to ask you if you think marijuana laws are worth enforcing. There's a big push, a lot of places, including here in St. Louis, that don't think marijuana laws need to be enforced. In fact, they think it is an obligation not to enforce them. And when I read more and more about this and the intention behind it, I just do not agree with it. And what I don't like is the idea that a prosecutor who is voted into office has the veto power, not to uphold the law, but the veto power to ignore the law and forget the law. Why should a prosecutor be allowed to veto what the law is without actually changing the law? I don't think they should. And this is one of the biggest problems a lot of people, including myself, have with Wesley Bell coming in and saying, we're just going to ignore what the law is. So you're essentially saying the people that voted you in wanted an activist as opposed to someone that was going to uphold the law. Is that what you're saying? I mean, are we voting activists in and not people that are going to interpret and look at the law? So here's the KMOV story. And we've talked about this before, but it continues to rekindle its way. So recreational use of marijuana, illegal in Missouri. But for about one-third of the state's residents, it's a crime prosecutors won't pursue. So they mention about 2.1 million of Missouri's 6.1 million residents live in the jurisdictions where the prosecutor, including in the county with Wesley Bell, announced that their policy won't allow prosecution. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Over the past 7 months, prosecutors in St. Louis County, Jackson County, and the most recent St. Louis County have all announced they will no longer prosecute most low-level marijuana possession cases. But even they say low-level is up to 100 grams. I looked online. I'll do that real quick. Last I checked, 100 grams of weed street value. Let's see how much it is. Let's find out, how much does this cost? Price of weed. All right. I'm in St. Louis. Oh, it won't let me load. I'll try to look it up. Mostly because high quality, $355 an ounce for high quality in Missouri. So you're looking at 100. So is that $3,500? $3,500. Does that sound like a little bit of marijuana? If you're holding upwards of $3,500 worth, no, it doesn't. It's not low level. But that's where they're going to put that threshold. Even one of the follow-up cases from some of the police in the area said it doesn't actually stop us from enforcing the law. It just means that when we hand it over, the prosecutor's going to decide to allow the person to just go, see you later, bye. We don't care. So it'll still be enforced. It's not like the people will... it's not like a police officer can see this sort of thing and say, well, we're going to turn the blind eye. No, they'll still enforce it properly. 314-436-7900. Let me get to Mike real quick. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Not much. I would just like to say that I am over 70 years old. In my younger days, I was a St. Louis Metropolitan Police Officer. I served in the Marine Corps. I worked for the FBI. And I fully support not only medical marijuana, of legalization, taxation, regulation of marijuana.
Recreational
is,
use.
Pardon me?
Yeah, recreational use is what you're saying. And so set aside medical marijuana, because that's a different thing, because it was voted on. But you're talking about recreational.
Recreational, anybody who has 3,500 or $35,000 worth of marijuana on them, it's for distribution. I don't know how that can be regulated, but low level is obviously, if you get caught with a joint, it should be a ticket at the very most. It is proven to be a beneficial drug to people who suffer from anxiety, cancer, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many conditions, including even arthritis. And, you know, to me, that's a no-brainer.
But well, that's the medical side. Hippie. Yeah, let's forget about the medical side. So outside of the use of medical, legit cases of medical. So recreational-wise, you know, you should be able to go in the street corner, buy some, and no cop should be able to give you a hard time for doing that?
Well, I don't think that's the case in states where it's been legalized. I hope that the newly elected governor, J.B. Pritzker in Illinois, follows through on his promise that legalizing it for medical and recreational use and taxing it and regulating it, I hope he follows through on that promise.
Okay. Well,
the other point I would like to make is I support Wesley Bell. He is our prosecuting attorney. And I hope that he realizes that his general statement about being anti-death penalty, I hope he reconsiders that, because just for one example, the Catholic Supply murderer.
One of the most heinous crimes.
Ugh. This man deserves the death penalty. And I hope that Mr. Bell realizes that his blanket statement that he's against it for obvious reasons. And I am appalled at racism at this point in my life. The third point that I would like to make is that Mr. Steinkraus and his overt racist comment will be the demise of Channel 2 unless they immediately take the action that is appropriate and tell Mr. Steinkraus, go somewhere else.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate your call. Yeah, thanks for your call there. Now, we didn't really talk about the whole sportscaster deal. We did talk about it, and I think it was South Carolina, and you did have some prominent people like Al Roker step in to the weatherman and say that, you know, it was a slip of tongue. No, it was an accident. There's slips of tongues that happen all the time. Case in point, Mike, you call into this radio show, and you just swore on the air. So did you intend to do that, or did you accidentally slip? It was probably a slip, I'm guessing, right? I was able to hit the button to get it off the air in time. But your slip of the tongue, Mike, it's very easy for that sort of thing to happen. And for you to try to say that that was intentional, I think is 100% wrong. But maybe we'll talk about that some other time. That wasn't really the topic we were trying to hit. You know, when I look at Wesley Bell and I look at the people that voted him in, did they want an activist in? Or were there people voting for activist as opposed to someone that was going to uphold the law? And maybe that's why we have some of the problems in a lot of the judges, in the federal judges, the district judges. When they get elected in, we put activists in, and they don't look at what the not only intention of the law is, but how it is written and how it meant to be applied. And they put their own spin, and they have their own way that they try to manipulate it in order to get their own agenda through. So do we want that sort of thing in prosecutors? We're just going to let someone in to allow what the law should be as opposed to the way they're written? Are we just, instead of trying to rewrite the laws or give people the option to to vote and change the laws. No, we're just going to put someone in there that'll just do it on their own. Is that what we want? Look at the major criticisms during the Obama, now even Trump administration of trying to handle it that way. No one wants it. But why is it on the prosecuting side? That's what all of a sudden people want. I don't get it. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, Camo X. Here it is, Overnight America, 1119, live in St. Louis, Missouri, but it's an issue that has really hit a lot of other places. So other cities that have adopted similar policies like they have in the county with Prosecutor Wesley Bell, where they will put an end to most pot cases. New York City, Philadelphia, Albany, New York, I mean, Norfolk Commonwealth in Virginia. I mean, all the hard-hitting places, but was originally put out upwards of 100 grams they'll be able to turn the other cheek on. I mean, that seems insane to me. Jeff calling in. Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
Hi. You mentioned earlier that the 100-gram amount is how much they'll allow someone to have, but then you skipped into ounces. They're actually 28.5 grams in an ounce, so you're talking about 100 grams would be somewhere between 3 and 4 ounces. And the street value on that's going to be $150, maybe $200.
Wait, was it 100 grams or 100 ounces that they said they were? I thought it was 100 ounces they were going to look the other way.
Well, you said 100 grams. You said 100 grams.
Maybe I'm mixing it up. Can you double check?
Yeah,
I'm going to get my producer to double check. I thought it was 100 ounces. That's a lot.
And then my other point was, you know, as an American, I'd rather see pot being sold legally that's grown by licensed growers and sold by licensed American businesses than contributing to allow the cartels to sell that stuff on the black market and contribute to the problem that we have in the border region. You know, it's not going to put the cartels out of business because obviously they're still going to sell cocaine, they're still going to traffic heroin, they're still going to be involved in fentanyl, but you know, let's just take that portion out of it, because again, we're just not winning the battle. I think the toothpaste is out of the tube, so to speak, and it's time to just focus our energies on fighting some other battles along the border, as opposed to trying to track down every single joint that gets sold.
So you want Uncle Sam to be the dealer?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's. Again, you know, Uncle Sam has been dealing alcohol since the end of Prohibition. I'm not sure why we can continue to arbitrarily draw the line at marijuana when we see, again, you know, firsthand the trouble that it's causing, especially in our border communities and especially south of the border with all of the just gross amounts of violence, bloodshed, murder. You know, it's time to just concede the issue and move on. And then, you know, you're talking about this prosecutor getting elected or this district attorney getting elected. Well, you know, maybe if they're not able to say, hey, vote for me, I won't prosecute you for pot. Well, if you take that out of the equation, then maybe they actually go back to voting for somebody who's going to enforce the laws. I don't know. Just food for thought.
I had to look it up and I did a fact check. You're right. So it was 100 grams. So street value up to about $1,100. So $1,100. That's a lot of. Well, I mean, who's walking around with that much?
I mean, that's $300 high grade heroin. Most people are buying or marijuana. Most people are buying pot for $50 to $100 an ounce.
Okay. You know the street value, Jeff. You have a dealer?
Yeah, I was watching Live PD the other night.
Live PD. Where do they go to? Is it Cape Girardeau? They're down there a lot, aren't they?
Well, I'm actually from Texas. They're in Williamson County, Texas, which is the Austin area, which is where I'm from. So
let's say they do open this up. So you'd be fine with more drugs coming across the border if you're down in Texas? Would that be cool with you?
No, the drugs wouldn't be coming. The marijuana wouldn't be coming across the border then. Because it would be, you know, following the Washington model, the California model, and the other states that have legalized it, you have to have a license to grow, and then you have to have a license to have a dispensary. That's all tightly regulated by the state governments. And so that totally takes this Latin American, Central American stuff off the market, because nobody's going to continue to pay the street value when you can walk into a dispensary, buy it legally for, you know, $20-$30 as opposed to paying $50 to $100 an ounce on the street.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Good to hear from you.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, Jeff down in Texas. I will say, when it comes to border regulation, so let's say they do legalize it nationwide, it becomes a federal law, and then recreational use of marijuana is allowed all over the place. Just look at how the laws are enacted for people that are crossing into the country legally, for example. So just because the laws are there, and if we were to open up amnesty, maybe it's not a good oranges for oranges type of a thing. But what I'm saying is, it's still going to come across the border. And if you give them the opportunity to get here and it's legal, kind of like the way during the Obama administration, they looked at, if as long as they can get on American soil, then you're safe, right? You can call Ollie Ollie oxen free and then you can't be prosecuted. We gave them that impression. And then people were coming here emboldened, thinking as long as they can get in, it'll be fine. So I think that if you open it up and say, oh, no, we'll just have homegrown marijuana here in the United States and then it'll stop at the border, it's kind of like saying that having certain regulations in place that'll stop all people trying to enter this country illegally, but you know it'll still happen. They'll still be coming into the country illegally. Does that make sense? That's a little convoluted. I should have come up with a better analogy than that. Let me get to Bob, who's calling in. Hey, Bob, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm a Vietnam veteran. And I'm totally against any kind of legalization of any kind of drug whatsoever. If it's for medical use, that's one thing. But again, if it's for medical use, you do it at home. You don't get in your automobile and start driving. When I was in the service, I was around people that smoked that stuff. And they just went with it after they smoked a while. And I just can't see it being legalized. I mean, you've got to under the influence for when you're drinking alcohol. And I mean, if you get pulled over and you're under the influence of alcohol, you pay a big dollar to get out of it. And I just don't need more people on the road that are under the influence, or whether it's drugs, pot, whatever it is. It just doesn't make a bit of sense. And what scares me the most is St. Louis becoming a sanctuary city. And I don't know what this world's coming to right now, but it seems like the laws are just being ignored. And, you know, it just seems like that's just the way the world's going.
It's one thing for the laws to be ignored by the people that live in the city. So if you're here in St. Louis and you see someone run a red light, which happens all the time, I don't know how many times I've been on Tucker at a red light and someone goes through the left-hand lane to just blow through the light. Happens, I would say once a week I see something like that happen. Or someone is, you know, speeding, going about 30 over the speed limit. Happens all the time, right? So there's one thing to say that the people that are in the city ignoring the laws, knowing that they'll probably be able to get away with it, versus the look at the county where you have Wesley Bell, who blatantly says, I don't care what the law says, I'm just not going to enforce it. So there's a huge difference. You shouldn't have to fight your prosecutor to enforce the laws. It just should be part of their job.
Exactly. And it's just like him saying he's not going to prosecute fathers that don't pay child support. Yeah. I don't understand that whatsoever.
Same thing, yeah. So how many other laws? So what are we going to do? I mean, we're just going to...
Where's it going to stop with this guy?
No, so what is he doing? He can't rewrite the laws, so then he can do the next best thing and just use his veto power and decide what he's going to do with it. It's dangerous. You know, it's very
exactly.
dangerous. So, you know, why do we even need the law when we can just put in a prosecutor that could be king? Just figure out whatever he wants.
It's politics all over. I mean, it's just like what's going on with the shutdown.
Yeah.
Nobody wants a budge on anything.
Yeah.
It's just getting ridiculous.
I got you. All right, Bob, good to hear from you. Thanks.
Thank you.
There was a quote in this article, the KMOV one. Republican Senator Bob, is it Onder from Lake St. Louis, agreed, calling the prosecutor's decision a subversion of the democratic process. Wesley Bell mentioned that, let's see, I don't think anyone should see the inside of a jail cell for a small amount of marijuana. Okay, then, I don't know, what do you do? So is it best to say, well, we're just going to ignore it altogether? I mean, that's his answer. guess what, a small, you know, 100 grams or whatever it is, upwards of $1,000, $1,500 worth of marijuana in your pocket, depending on what kind of quality you have or whatever it is. And then you have the discretion of the police officer that has to determine if they're selling it or not or whatever it is. And still they can arrest them because that's what the law says. It's just the prosecutor will let them off the hook. Cat and mouse deal, I guess. Coming up next, I wanted to bring up the comments of Ben Shapiro. He was at the March for Life this weekend. Something he said, he was doing a live show out there. He does a radio show. He also does a live video stream and a podcast that's extremely popular, one of the most downloaded podcasts in the country. And he said something that had sponsors of his show drop. Two sponsors have dropped because of what he said. I'm going to play it for you, and I want you to tell me if you think it's controversial. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Overnight America and Ryan Recker continues on KMOX.
Here we are. Overnight America continues. So I'm going to play a segment from Ben Shapiro's show on The Daily Wire. Conservative commentator, very well known in certain circles. Most people even make him into a meme online. He is a very hardcore conservative in the sense that he is someone that comes in well-informed. He's a great debater, very intelligent, and a big target for anti-Semitism. He is also someone that is nationally known, not only through his books, but through his radio program. I'm really buttering him up. He's a very popular online commentator. He does have a radio show. I've never actually listen to the terrestrial radio show itself. For a while there, I think he was syndicated through the Salem Radio Network, and then he started doing some other things. I really don't know who carries him anymore. But he travels a lot. He does a lot of speeches. We talk about him when it comes to campus free speech. He had an open lawsuit. I think it was with the University of Minnesota. I'll have to double check that, where he was turned away from speaking when he was invited there by a group because of his views, his controversial views. I don't even think his views are that controversial. I think his views are pretty hardline conservative views. And I do think that he backs up all of his views. And when I listened to his thoughts here at the March for Life, I did not see this as controversial, but you might. So when you hear it, you tell me if you think this is worthy of a controversy. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. There's two sponsors that dropped from his show. One was Calm, which is a meditation app, and one is Quip, which is a toothbrush. So let me play you the comments and how he explains them. Now, keep in mind, this is in the context at the March for Life anti-abortion rally. So he's speaking in front of a crowd that's there rallying against abortion.
Finally, argument number 10. This one has become popular in recent years after the book Freakonomics came out. That argument is that abortion lowers the crime rate, right? That all the that what has lowered the crime rate traditionally has been killing all the would-be criminals. First of all, okay, that I don't know who's comfortable with the pre-crime version of humanity, where we get to decide before you're born whether you're likely to be a criminal and then abort you based on future criminal activity in which you have not participated. Right? The argument, I guess, here is that would you kill baby Hitler? And the truth is that no pro-life person on earth would kill baby Hitler. Right, because baby Hitler wasn't Hitler. Adult Hitler was Hitler. Baby Hitler was a baby. Right, what you presumably want to do with baby Hitler was take baby Hitler out of baby Hitler's house and move baby Hitler into a better house where he would not grow up to be Hitler. Right, that's the idea.
But all right, so I'm going to play more of that comment in that speech, but that's the part that got everyone upset. Because he mentioned that at a pro-life rally, this is, again, the biggest one of the year, the March for Life in Washington, D.C., the March for Life anti-abortion rally. He was talking about certain people online that were trying to find a loophole of when you would endorse abortion if you're pro-life. And, oh boy, what if it was a baby Hitler in there? And his point being that a baby cannot be the Hitler that you know, right? You can't go back in time and do this sort of thing knowing what you know now, because at the time, the baby had nothing to do with the crimes and the atrocities of the adult. And it's funny how he sets up this Freakonomics thing, because I did listen to the podcast where they talked about this sort of thing. And they try to find these loose ways to morally make it possible for people who are disgusted by abortion to jump on board and say, well, actually, that's a really smart and intelligent defense of why it would be a good idea to do this sort of thing. And if you just take a step back and look at it and say just how silly the idea and the thought is that somehow you can tell before someone's born what they're going to do with their life as a justification to say it's okay to do the action. If you look at abortion as the killing of a person or whatever, if you look at it that way and then someone tries to say, oh, no, look at it this way. It could have been a Hitler. So you're probably doing a good thing. That's a terrible way to try to convince someone of your stance if you're trying to talk to someone that is anti-abortion. And Ben Shapiro, I don't look at that as controversial even by a little bit. I look at that as he's bringing up an instance where these people that pretend to be philosophers in a social media world, it's kind of like the teenager that thinks they're really deep. Oh boy, what a thinker. Man, you really got me there. It's deep for a teenager. But it's not deep for anyone else after the age of 18. That's the type of stuff that you see online circulate itself. And he brought that up as an example. All right, so I want to play the rest of his comments. Maybe you heard him, maybe you didn't. But do you even find that controversial? I don't see that controversial. 314-436-7900.
It is also true that the crime statistics do not even match up. Criminologist Barry Latzer points out that abortions became available in 1973 under Roe versus Wade. Those young people would go on to create a massive crime spike and the crack cocaine epidemic. But if you move forward 15 to 20 years, right, which that's when you would see the crime drop due to the abortion of babies. But there is no crime drop. You'd expect the absent babies, right, the babies that were killed starting in 1973, not to be around carjacking people. But it turns out that people were still carjacking people 15 years after Roe v. Wade, 20 years after Roe v. Wade. The crime spike only began to drop in 1994, a solid 21 years after Roe v. Wade was actually put in place. That can't be due to abortion. Right, that's really due to additional policing. So it doesn't even match up statistically. Okay, now, in all of this discussion, I've refrained from discussing the Bible and religion. Now, one of the arguments that I've made is based on the Bible or religion. Now, the media will pretend that I didn't make any of these arguments, that it's all about the Bible and religion, because the left prefers to believe that religion is stupid and people who believe in religion are stupid, people who believe in God are idiots, and that's the reason why we prefer to protect the lives of the unborn. But we do have to recognize one religious root to every argument that I'm making, and that is the innate value of human life. That is a religiously based argument.
The value of human life. Wow. And he goes on to explain that some more, which, you know, it's a good... at the very start, you heard that was point number 10. So he's making his points, doing his thing. I don't see that as controversial at all. And I'm someone that is against abortion. I come at it as a faith-based approach at the very first. I don't have to go through 10 logic and reasons to come up to it before I get to my faith-based side. No, I lead with that. You know, you may look at me the way Ben Shapiro mentioned that some people will look at you. I don't care. Let me get to Jeff real quick, calling in from Ferguson. Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
Oh, nothing much. I got the text about the song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but... anyway, yeah, the child is still innocent, no matter who it is, until they grow up into that person.
Isn't that weird that people make the argument that, well, I it's almost like a lottery. So, oh, well, what if that person will grow up to do something terrible, so it's better to eliminate them before they have a chance to? It's a terrible argument that people try to bring up as a justification for it.
But those people ignore the fact that the baby is still a baby. It's not that person yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of ways you can look at this argument. I don't understand that one where the baby Hitler thing. It's again, it's a bunch of teenagers thinking they're really deep trying to bring up these philosophical ideas like that.
Yeah, a sidebar on that. One of the newer Twilight Zone incarnations did an episode on that.
Really?
Yeah, one of the newer ones, I think in the early 2000s, there was a UPN network.
Yeah.
But anyway.
UPN.
The woman went back in time and tried to take the baby, but it ended up being the wrong baby, and his parents took another baby and just renamed it or something like that.
Oh, I see. So they ended up messing it up anyway. You know, it's funny that we bring up time traveling this way. Of all the ways you can bring up time traveling, that this is the one that people want to use the message for. Like, and Jeff, it's crazy. All of the chances we've had as a nation, and you look at how the United States entered into World War II and how for a while there people were yelling and screaming at the atrocities that were going on. There were our chances to stop this from the beginning. And, you don't have to go back to the baby standpoint. There's a lot of other opportunities that we could have stepped in and stopped it. I'm glad we did when we did. But, man, you don't have to get a time machine to stop bad things from happening.
And before I go, did you get my Ghostbuster picture that I found?
Yeah. No, I didn't want to share that. You see, you're in there just trying to cause trouble, Jeff.
I really felt like I wanted to send that to Leslie Jones. Just because of her.
Yeah, I don't think she's online anymore. For the people that are getting upset with the whole Ghostbuster deal with, you know, the cast that were there, the cast that were involved with Ghostbuster 3, which was the all-female cast in the alternative world or universe or whatever it is, this is what they don't understand. They have no reverence or respect for the original series if they're upset about them wanting to make another one of those.
Oh, you go on there. I found
terrible.
Her on Twitter.
Is she?
Yeah, she's still on there.
Oh, I thought she quit Twitter after the Yiannopoulos thing. All right. No. Good to hear from you, Jeff. Thanks.
All right. Good night.
You find those comments from Ben Shapiro at all controversial? I don't. I think it's a nice message. You know what the shame is? The shame is that there's going to be people online that will take comments like that because they disagree with it, and they'll do everything they can to try to pressure companies and the sponsor boycott stuff. People will... I mean, and companies will really fold very quickly. You'll find that happening over and over again to the mob mentality online. And a lot of times it's a bunch of anonymous style people that have no connection to that community that go in and call in and do this and do that. And you go back and you look at the comments and say, this is something you can defend, but as a company, you're deciding not to, which is kind of a shame that happens to some television and radio personalities. 314-436-7900. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Ryan Recker. Overnight America. The two best things in your night on KMOX.
Wow. All right, let's take a couple more calls on this. The topic from over the weekend in the March for Life, it wasn't just about the teenagers and the Black Israelite Hebrew group and the Native American activist. It wasn't just about them this weekend. The March for Life happened. Many, many, many people showed up. One of the larger commentators online goes by the name of Ben Shapiro, and he gave the speech, and I played a portion of it, part of what he said in front of the crowd about the value of life. And some of the arguments that you've seen, and people bring up the argument about, you know, here's the economic plus side to abortions and things. So he gives his counter argument, and people are upset. I don't see anything controversial in what he said. I really don't. Greg calling in. Hey, Greg, what's going on?
Good evening, Mr. Recker.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, did you ever step in it today? this is a deep subject, so I'm going to need your help in this. Mm-hmm. All right? All right. You know me. I've called in from time to time. I think, or I should say I believe, in fact, I know that life is good. And I don't live for this world. Mm-hmm. I live in this world, and I live to improve this world. I believe our culture is changing it to where we live because we are in this world, and we live for this world. And it's like, no, we're living for something better. Each generation, is how I was taught, is to improve the conditions of the earth.
Hmm.
And it's a stepping stone. And I believe that's how we evolve into a better society. As long as we treat life as what it is a gift.
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, and no, it does. And there are people that try to justify or put their claims or whatever their beliefs are. And you know, there's people of faith that will go back and forth with them, but I think it would be pretty miserable to live if this was the best it could absolutely get is this planet Earth. Man, that's miserable to me. I have faith there's much better things after this. I really do.
Right.
And I don't want to think this is as good as it gets.
So why are people, I'm going to ask you this, and I'm asking everybody out there, why is everyone upset about someone protecting life? That's all I'm doing. I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at them, If you turn down the volume and you watch these protesters, all right, they're very, I don't know, they're not happy in their life.
Hmm.
My goodness. Everyone, when you look at a baby, I don't see people frowning when they see a newborn baby. I've never seen anybody frown with a newborn baby. I see people actually enjoying it.
Hmm.
It's a smile. I've never seen anybody really putting down a baby.
Hmm.
I mean, whether they're in the womb or outside the womb, they're still a baby. I don't get it. Anyway,
yeah.
Mr. Wrecker, you have a great day.
Thanks, Greg. Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. All right, let me get to Mike. And Greg brought this up, too. And could you imagine someone that justifies that stance to look at a brand new born baby and say, well, for the good of society, we must, I don't even want to say it out loud because I'm not going to, but I can't imagine anyone that going through anyone's mind. And if it does, they need to seek professional help. I mean, for their own good and so they don't harm anyone. But seriously, I can't imagine that thought going through anyone's mind. Mike calling in. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
How you doing? No, I'm very pro-life. Number one, it's not the baby's fault. It's an innocent baby. He hasn't even reached accountability, whether it's a his or hers. And that's ridiculous. It's like, it's kind of like gambling with their baby's life. They talk about Hitler. That's like, say, well, he may be bad. How do you know? He could turn out to be a minister. He could be anything, president, anything. No, I'm for life 100%. But now here's where you probably disagree with me on. Now, what I don't like in a pro-life movement, I'm also against the death penalty.
Yeah, you've
I'm
called consistent. In and said that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because of life. Because think about it. When a baby's born, we treasure it. I do, too. And the reason I'm against the death penalty, let's say the innocent baby grows up, and all of a sudden, and maybe he's innocent in prison, he gets a death penalty, and a life's taken away that's innocent. Now, I'm not for the crime. Some people may say, well, lock him up for life, and I'm all against murder. But I think he was just making a point. But you can't make excuses to hurt these innocent babies. It's not right. Just like, for example, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but one of some parents you had say, I want to get rid of him because he might not be college grad. But so what?
No. And it goes even further. So you have countries, I think it's Iceland. Well, I'll use them, and I'm not great at remembering all these things, but I'm pretty sure it's Iceland, where they were bragging about how no one in their country has Down syndrome. Oh, look at this. We're just living this utopia. So they send reporters over there. How in the world did they find a cure for this? They didn't. They found out that anyone that had the test in the womb, they encouraged them to get abortions, so they would be a country without Down syndrome. And
well, that's ridiculous. Yeah,
that's the world we live in today. That's where they're making these sort of decisions ahead of time.
Why don't they go to the good doctors? I believe in healing, and I believe in doctors. They had Dr. Foreman told them, I believe in God, but not the quote of verse in Psalms 103. I believe this. My doctor agreed with me. It says, who forgiven all thy iniquity, heals all thy diseases. These people can get better, but it's not fair to the baby. You didn't even give them the opportunity.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes between the mother and the baby, are they going to live? That's tough. I wish God could say both. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, Mike, good to hear from you. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right. Now, that's if that's the biggest controversial thing that Ben Shapiro ever says, I want you to try to imagine why everyone hates for him to come and speak at a school. You know, I shouldn't say everyone. So these Republican groups will bring him in, and he'll speak on these college campuses, and there'll be such a protest outside of people that don't want him to be able to talk in front of a group of people. Did you listen to him and think to yourself, wow, what hate speech this guy is spewing, and oh, he's got to be the worst of the worst, and how vile and putrid the things that are coming out of his mouth? Or did you actually look at that and say, okay, he has a point of view, and he's articulating his point of view, and he's giving his reasoning to defend his point of view? What's the harm in someone expressing themselves and expressing their free speech on a college campus if they're saying things like that, unless there is some sort of agenda on a college campus? And there shouldn't be some sort of protester's veto, is what he calls it, as in if, you know, a group of people who become violent outside of a hall where your speech is occurring is enough to cancel and override your ability to use your free speech on that campus. And that's a protester's veto. You got to be careful for these things, I guess. But it doesn't mean the sponsors have to be on board. So maybe there's probably better to shame the organizations that are too cowardly to, try to defend their stance to allow for free speech at a rally for life. Looks like Calm and Quip, the two companies that left him. That was the big news. One quick thing before we go to break. You see what Fox News did? This is, I can't believe they did this. So very briefly on Fox and Friends this morning, they had to apologize for airing a graphic that said Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, 1933 to 2019, and it showed a picture of her. Very, very briefly that popped up. They weren't even talking about her. They were talking about something else here. And they had to come back and apologize for airing this graphic on the air.
In the meantime, we need to apologize. At the beginning of Ainslie's interview with the professor, a technical error in the control room triggered a graphic of Ruth Bader Ginsburg with a date on it. We don't want to make it seem anything other than that was a mistake. That was an accident. We believe she is still at home recovering from surgery. Big
we
mistake.
We apologize. And the control Big room. Mistake. Yes.
Indeed. Terrible, terrible mistake. Oh, you really stepped in it there. At least they apologized and owned up to the mistake. And of course, it's not the news anchor's fault. It's the guys back in the control room, whoever was pressing that sort of thing. So this is something that people in radio and television widely are known to do. When it's major figures like that, obviously, when you know that something could be imminent, you prepare for those sort of things. And obviously a big news organization like Fox or CNN or MSNBC have already prepared for what could happen with the Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So obviously they were working on some sort of things in the background. This should not have seen light of day, and someone made a big mistake putting it up there. It's not abnormal for these news organizations. And you know what? Even radio prepare for when they think something may be happening and it's a big news figure because they know that it's significant enough that they're going to be breaking coverage and covering an event like that. But man, that's embarrassing. So embarrassing. All right, coming up in the next hour, what's really wrong with our healthcare and how can we improve it? What about when you call 911 for a medical emergency? That system is so screwed up too. It's not just in our hospitals. How about we look at India? Dr. William Hasseltine, his thoughts on that coming up on Overnight America.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.